time ago. I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. And I knew if I had my chance that I could make those people dance, and maybe they'd be happy for a while. But February made me shiver with every paper I'd deliver. Bad news on the doorstep, I couldn't take one more step. I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride, but something touched me deep inside the day the music died.
Hey guys, it's episode 591 of All Time Top 10. I'm so glad we made it a point to include one of our patented rage-inducing episodes here before the end of the year. And I am so glad that I reached out to Sir Joel Lavelle and our long-lost friend Amy Wolitz to do this ridiculous topic. You might be offended by what we have to say about some of these songs, but a lot of these are everyone else's all-time favorites. So in the end, you'll thank us because you get to hear them regardless of how we feel about them. Part 2 and picks 5 through 1 of top 10 rage-inducing songs we hate, but everybody else loves, coming up next. And if you missed part 1, go back now and check it out, please. Anyway, I'm only going to say this one other time in this episode, but All Time Top 10 is no longer on Twitter. The less said about that, the better. But we are highly active now on Threads and Blue Sky, as well as Facebook and Instagram. So we've loved having you guys weigh in on some of these music polls, like for the bonus track of the week and for the ATTT 1000, our ongoing series revealing what happened to be the greatest songs we've ever heard. This week, we added some funky classics from the 90s and further back, starting with number 694. It's the Fugees with Killing Me Softly with his song. I was asking you guys, what's your favorite reverse supergroup? Lots of great suggestions here from our friends on social media. Buffalo Springfield, The Velvet Underground, Genesis, The New Christy Minstrels, London, Napalm Death, The Beatles, Temple of the Dog, The Guess Who, The Wu-Tang Clan, The Yardbirds, Joy Division, NWA, Miles Davis, Zappa, Bowie, Prince, P-Funk, James Brown, John Mayall and the Blues Breakers, Yes, and King Crimson, and actually even more if you can believe it. But we love the Fugees with their cover of Killing Me Softly with his song. Our friend E. Eisen August on Instagram, I believe that's Mrs. Eisen, she says, love this song. We agree. Killing Me Softly. At number 693, we had Arrested Development with Tennessee. I was asking you guys, what's the best song with a state name in the title? I gotta tell you, there were 107 songs picked amongst our friends on social media. I'll just lay on you just a few of these here. There's Sweet Home Alabama, California Girls, Your Own Private Idaho, New York State of Mind, Going Back to Cali, California Love, Yellow Rose of Texas, Alabama by Neil Young, Blood Buzz Ohio by The National, Going to California, California Dreaming, Ohio, Midnight Train to Georgia, Stars Fell on Alabama, Arizona by Mark Lindsay, Georgia on My Mind, California Uber Alice, and The Michigan Rag, and literally dozens more. Thank you guys. We love Tennessee from Arrested Development from 1992. Going back to the 70s for number 692, it's James Brown with Talking Loud and Saying Nothing. I was asking you guys, what's the all-time best Bootsy Collins bass line? Good suggestions here. Parliament, Give Up the Funk, Stretching Out in a Rubber Band by Bootsy and his rubber band, and the clones of Dr. Funkenstein from Parliament. Our friend Mike Bish wants us to know that Groove Is in the Heart is not Bootsy Collins on bass. It's a sample of Maestro Ron Carter, so says Mike Bish. You know, I'm always open for corrections, everybody. So, you know, if I'm wrong about something, let me know, please. Anyway, those three songs are now added to the AETTT 1000 playlist. And so much fun being had on Spotify and YouTube with those. Go check them out. And yeah, we appreciate it. Thanks so much, guys. Let's get back into this episode, though. Let's conclude our topic of hate, I guess. Joe and Amy are back on hand for top 10 rage-inducing songs we hate that everybody else loves. Fun stuff ahead in part two. Roll the tape. Because
fire is the devil's only friend. Oh, and as I watched him...
What is everyone talking about? The English Patient, it's so romantic. God, that movie stunk.
I kind of liked it.
No, you didn't.
Elaine, did you just see The English Patient?
Didn't you love it?
No.
How could you not love that movie?
How about it sucked?
That Ray Fiend, I would give up my firstborn for him.
Getting the short end of that stick.
Top 10 rage-inducing songs we hate that everybody else loves. Part 2.
Hey, everybody.
Hello.
It is now 1 week later.
How was your week?
Well, I was sitting right here the whole time. My back really hurts right now. I've been hunched over like this for...
At least we didn't have to listen to rage-inducing songs all that whole time.
I know. Like, we listened to nothing. It was, like, glorious.
So we set our brains.
Except for I had the number 6 in my head. Stupid.
Oh, my gosh. I'm mad at the listeners because last week we had a listener pick bonus track of the week.
Yeah.
I love that song. Why do the listeners hate that song? That song is awesome.
There was just that one guy or gal. That one person. I don't know who it was.
One individual.
It was a tough topic for listener picks because, like, all of the picks, like, got, like, one vote because only one person hates them. And then there was, like, just that one song that got 2 votes.
Is that right? Did you tally them up?
Yeah. 2 people hated that song.
No, there's
even
one.
Even though everyone else
loves
it.
There's one with 4 on here.
Oh.
One with 3.
But well, then it's not a song that everybody loves then.
There's Starship. We Built the City. That, come on. No.
Nobody.
Do people love that song?
No.
Yeah. Come on. Come on, folks. Anyway, I'm back here with the great Joel Lavelle over there. Hey, Joe.
Hey, everybody.
Welcome back. And our friend Amy Wallet's back again. Oh, my God.
That's me.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Twice in 9 years.
I know, right? There's several Amy Wallet's episodes. In fact, as our take this moment to promote them, because if you want to hear a Joel Lavelle episode, there's like 40 to choose from or something.
And like 3 or 4 of them are good.
Stop it. Songs under 2 minutes long was amazing. That was Joe's first episode too. It was like episode 27 or something. Let's see here. I'm going, spreadsheets are going to tell the tale here.
That's what they do.
That's right. Top 10 Alice Cooper songs.
That's right.
With Matt Dinan and the great Amy Wallet's episode 25. She was on before Joe.
2 episodes before
I was
you.
Very aware.
You're really jealous.
That she was on the show before me.
But like by 2 episodes. And you've done so.
Don't have to be that jealous.
Episode 89, top 10 done too soon artists.
That was a good one.
Oh, that's an Amy topic for sure.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Really.
A little morbid.
That was part of Morbid Month. Yes. We did a few of those. back in the day. Episode 129, top 10 big dumb songs.
That was a fun one.
Volume 1.
I want to say that I suggested that topic.
That's right. That was Joe's idea.
Previous, I think it was a previous episode with the two of you, and you described a song on that list as big and dumb.
Yeah.
And I said, the two of you have to do a list of just big dumb songs.
Yeah, but those were big dumb songs that we like as opposed to these episodes.
Mm-hmm. Joe knows how many big dumb songs I like.
And that's the last one. That's the last one we did with Amy Wolitz. That was 2014.
How the time flies.
Yeah. Welcome back.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Anyway, we're back with picks 5 through 1. These are the songs that we hate that everybody else loves, or in case, you know, maybe one other person in the room loves. But let's do number 5. Amy, this is you.
That's me. All right. I'm going to make some people angry with this one. I didn't with my last one.
That's good.
This is a case of a voice that I can't bear to listen to, and I would rather go hang out in a kennel full of whining dogs.
Well, you were about to.
This one makes me so angry that I don't even have that much to say about it.
Okay.
Heart of Gold, Neil Young.
Oh, no. Really?
Neil's been getting old for 50 years, and if I never have to hear him sing that lyric again, it will be too soon.
And I'm growing old. This song, huh? This is a classic.
He may be a talented songwriter, but in my books, a talented singer, he is not.
Well, that's... I think he'd agree with you on that. All right, shall we?
We shall.
If we must.
We must. Heart of Gold. Wow. All right, let's hear it at number 5.
Number 5. Heart of Gold.
Told me about this episode idea, that was one of the two songs that came to me right away. Didn't even have to think about it.
And then you suddenly got really angry.
I did. Just want to smash something.
We were listening to that harmonica there, and I relayed to Joe this idea that I had the other day. It just kind of came out of nowhere. For one of our rage-inducing episodes, I would love to do top 10 rage-inducing instruments.
But are there
our least favorite musical instrument.
Are there like 10 instruments that you hate? Are there 5?
No, I don't really hate any of them. It's just my least favorite. I would probably preface it with top 10 favorite music instruments or something like top 10 music instruments. And then have like the ones like bagpipes or whatever. I don't know.
You could do a twist on it and pick the songs that you like that feature that instrument.
Ooh. Okay. Well, that one features the harmonica.
Songs we like with instruments we hate.
Just complicate things.
Yeah. it's a go down a rabbit hole with that. Great pick.
Thank you.
I mean, I love the song, so thank you.
How many people hate me now?
I don't hate you at all because you got us to listen to that song.
Fair enough.
Joe, what's number four?
Okay, so when you first texted me about this, I read a word that was not actually in your text. I don't know why.
It happens.
I misread it, but like the previous day, we were texting about something totally different. I don't know if the listeners know this, but I'm actually personal friends with Ben Eisen, and we actually like, hang out and text even if it doesn't have to, anything to do with the show.
Believe it or not.
And we had been texting about a newly recorded cover version of a song, and we both really liked it, and I mentioned that, you know, but I hate the original. And then, like, that was, like, a whole conversation one day, and then, like, a couple days later, I got a text from you asking if I want to come do rage-inducing songs that everyone loves but that we hate.
Right.
But I read it as, because we were just talking about a cover song, I read it as rage-inducing covers that everyone loves
right.
but that we hate. And I immediately thought of this song.
Wow.
And then I reread the text. I'm like, I can still put it on the list. It's still okay.
Sure you can.
It
still counts.
Because, of course, you know, we're using shorthand here when we say a song. You're talking about music with your friends. You say song, you mean a particular recording.
Sure.
And so the songwriting I don't dislike on this.
Uh-huh.
This particular performance and recording I absolutely hate. One thing I said early in the episode is like when you say that somebody sucks, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're not talented. You just, you know, you don't like what they do with their talent.
Right.
So you say they suck.
Except for Tears for Fears actually doesn't have any talent according to you.
No, I when I introduced that song, I said they're talented musicians.
Oh, okay.
But all they right. suck.
Anyway, go on.
This artist sucks. This artist is not musically talented.
Oh no.
This artist like is a horrible presence in the history of popular music. But when he first kind of came on the scene, there were like people who were, had established reputations as being like, you know, great rock musicians. They're like, who, by the way, were on drugs. And they said, oh, we love this guy. So all the music journalists were like, oh, all the recognized great rockers love this guy, so we'll say that we love this guy too. And it's a total emperor's no clothes
situation
because after that, everyone's like, well, I'm not going to be the guy that says that he sucks. So like, just everybody was like, oh yeah, this guy's really good. We like him.
Were they just like being sarcastic?
Well, no, they were afraid.
No, but
they thought that
the rock
everybody
stars
else
were being sarcastic.
No, they were just on drugs, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they were just on drugs.
Fair enough.
And, you know, in their drug, you know, haze, they were like, yeah.
Four.
So this.
He's going to draw it up.
This is
that's what he does.
The kind of person who, like, you can kind of understand why people want to tell themselves that they love him, because if you understood soul music just because you saw a PBS documentary about soul music, and then you heard this musician, you'd be like, oh, honey, I think I know what this is. I saw a documentary about soul music, and soul singers often seem like they're in physical pain when they sing, and I think that's called soulfulness.
Oh, God.
And this guy, he seems like he's in a lot of physical pain when he sings, so he must be the most soulful of all of them.
This is Joe Cocker.
No. This is somebody who sings like, it's not just like the pain in his voice, he also squirms around, and it's like somebody took three dry pine cones and shoved them up his rectum. And he's like trying to get them out. And
it would be so much even funnier if I knew what he was
right.
talking about.
Pine cones, if you picture a pine cone, it's got like all those platelets, you know, circling around.
Yeah.
And they all kind of like, there's a slight bend to the platelets.
Going down the
so
stretch.
when they were inserted up his rectum, they were inserted in such a way that like the platelets kind of like could fold down a little bit. They were pushed in that direction. But if he tries to push them out, the platelets then expand against the walls of his anus, so he can't get them out. So he just squirms, and he can't get comfortable, and he's in so much pain. And he's like,
Pine cones are so far up my anus.
That doesn't sound like Joe Cocker.
Pine cones are so far up my anus. So I complain us. I'm going to find that person who put the pine cones up my anus.
Beautiful rendition.
Pine cones are so far.
I clapped in hopes that it would be the end.
Up my anus.
Yay. Yep. All right.
So we're talking about Joe Cocker.
Yep, there it is.
Who sucks. And nothing he's ever done has ever been good. But for some reason, people were like, yeah. Yeah, he's soulful. Listen to him sing like he's got pine cones shoved up his anus. Yeah, that's really good. Really good what he does.
I do agree with that. But anyway.
So I mentioned that I chose a cover.
Yes. He always does covers.
Yeah, because he sucks. You can sometimes do covers and not suck, but right.
He doesn't write songs anyway.
His Wikipedia says that he writes songs, but
he doesn't anymore.
No, he doesn't. Somebody needs to update that. Oh. Used to before he died.
Oh my God, Joe Lavelle is so mean. Go on.
Finally succumbed to the pine cones up his anus. So
he died of irritation.
I was only like 12 years old when I don't know the exact year that it debuted, but when the Wonder Years debuted, and even like at that young age, I'm like, why did they use the Joe Cocker version? It sucks. It's so bad. So we got to include on the list Joe Cocker's version of I Get By With a Little Help from My Friends.
Oh my God,
which sucks.
Oh my goodness. That's brutality. Let's listen to number four. I love this song.
Number four, With a Little Help from My Friends.
Sing out of key, yeah. Oh, baby, how you lie? Well, I need it, but tell me when you say no more. Only can live in my friend. I got the body there. Everybody got the love I live. Some
something that happens all the time. You know it does.
What do you see when you turn off the light?
I don't see nothing, but it's just
I'll never look at pine cones
that's
the same
diabolical
way again.
Yeah, the way that they're in there. Yeah. It's like, they just get tighter. It's like a Chinese finger trap or something. Poor Joe.
Yeah.
You don't have any sympathy.
Well, I do. I just think that like somebody should have taken him to a doctor instead of setting him on the path of a music career where he just had to keep the pine cones up there for 40 years.
We could have like
50 years
pruned them at least, you know. Anyway, that's a great song, and I really enjoy that performance. So thank you for sharing.
It's not a great song, and I really don't enjoy that performance.
You like the song though, right?
The songwriting, yes, yeah. I like the Beatles version.
And you like the Beatles version? Okay, good.
But it's also not that like I'm not precious about the Beatles. It's not like they covered a Beatles song. They suck. The Beatles are better. And just this particular cover of a Beatles song.
But
sucks.
I just wanted to know how you felt about the original.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good one.
Ringo's finest hour, you know. It really is, you know. I love it.
Gotta be with that.
Yeah. So let's go to number three. And I gotta take another pot shot at the lousy production values and overall crappiness of music of the late 1980s.
Better be a song that everybody loves though.
It is.
Okay.
Pretty sure. I don't get like how did we survive through that? Like that's our formative years, you know? Like that's when we're like discovering, you know, our own what's our music. And mainstream music in 1986, 87, 88, god damn, it was so bad. So bad. And I didn't have any hip siblings or cousins that could turn me on to, you know, The Cure or The Replacements or whatever. I didn't have any of that. So I just like listened to my metal and waited for a brighter day. I don't know. Anyway, this is the sound of like of 1989, sterile, corporate, hollow pop, zero sense of irony about how lame it is. Like it's like a Ronald Reagan wet dream of non-art. it's just like there's nothing there. And people think the song is brilliant. I don't get it. Even this description from SongFact, my favorite site, gets on my nerves. When Fine Young Cannibals first tried to record this, lead singer Roland Gift, that's his name, used his regular voice, and the song She Drives Me Crazy was known at the time as My Baby. No one involved with the recording liked it. But a revamping of the lyrics and a falsetto voice for the new She Drives Me Crazy changed everybody's opinion of the song. This bizarre vocal styling had quite an impact and made the song a huge hit and an inescapable earworm, as it is now impossible to think of the title without Gift's variation burrowing into your brain. She Drives Me Crazy from Fine Young Cannibals. I hate it so much.
I don't dislike it, but this was the hit that somehow stood the test of time and you still hear. But from the same album, I love Good Thing.
Good Thing's great.
Such a great song. I love that song.
I will stand by Good Thing.
I like She Drives Me Crazy. It's just that why wasn't Good Thing the bigger hit? Because Good Thing
they
kicks
were both
ass.
Number one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you don't hear Good Thing still.
No, you
the
don't.
Way that you hear
No, and you should. It's definitely a better song.
But I will say, I'll say this afterwards.
Okay.
Because you look like you're ready to press play. You want to get this over with.
No, I was considering reading something else that I
would love to hear it.
Oh, okay.
If Amy would stop interrupting.
Amy, geez. I'll
try to keep it to myself.
You can try harder. So Barry Levinson used Fine Young Cannibal's music in his movie Tin Men. He said the film's production notes, "The sound of the Fine Young Cannibals had a sparseness to it and reminds me very much of the uncluttered music of the early 60s. Somewhat of a basic sound, yet it has an unusual kind of richness in combining modern rhythms with traditional soul music." Get soul music. And again, we're insulting soul music. Yeah. "She Drives Me Crazy was one of several songs the group provided for the soundtrack. Including Social Security, Good Thing, Hard As It Is, and Tell Me What." They even appeared in the movie as a house band.
Nice. Making a few bucks.
They were on top of the world. And here's why. This is She Drives Me Crazy from Fine Young Cannibals. Shout out to Weird Al, who did a good version of...
Yeah, I think it's one of his less inspired...
No, it's not great because the song sucks. The song itself is not good.
No, but also it just seems like the song is She Drives Like Crazy, and it's about a woman who drives in a very crazy manner. And it just feels like a real easy go-to. Sure. It's like some of his other things are more clever.
Don't have to think about it that hard.
Well, the source material sucks. So that's to me, that's why it's not as one of his standout tracks. But anyway, let's get it over with. This is number three. Fine Young Cannibals.
Number three, She Drives Me Crazy.
I can't hear any more of that.
Yeah, I like it.
Not exactly thinking man's music.
It is a big dumb song.
No, I mean, the only way that I ever knock it is by mentioning that it's not nearly as good as Good Thing. But I like She Drives Me Crazy. Ugh. I will say that people who don't live in Los Angeles maybe can't relate to this. I'm wondering if the two of you can relate to this. Anytime it's award season, when I say award season, I mean basically like 12 months out of the year, because either it's movie award season or TV award season or music award season. they're like courting people to you know, vote for, you know, their artists or their right, show or their movie.
Grammy timer now.
And there are billboards all over Los Angeles for, you know,
for your consideration.
For your consideration, which they always put up as FYC.
Mm.
So every time I see an FYC billboard, that song or Good Thing pops into my head.
Are you going to do that to me?
Like all throughout.
I got to listen to Good Thing a lot.
And like,
so it's always that one and not that stinky piece of crap that we just
heard. I think that like people who visit Los Angeles, yeah, if they're driving around, they see the billboards, they probably like, it's not obvious to them what FYC means.
Right.
Right.
Well, sometimes like, they does spell it out. You know?
Sometimes, but very often they just
write
FYC. Well,
now less and less.
Fine
yeah.
Young
yeah.
Cannibals should have
yeah.
copyrighted that. Could be rolling sue in them. It now.
I'll Sue You is one of Weird Al's yes. better songs. here's a small list for you, and this is definitely partial, but here's a list for you. Bruce Springsteen, Backstreet Boys, Nirvana, The Who, Jimi Hendrix, Sheryl Crow, Led Zeppelin, Bob Dylan, and Johnny Cash. None of these artists ever had a number one hit. Fine Young Cannibals had two.
Wow.
What a terrible time for music.
One of them was warranted. Good Thing is awesome.
It's good, but I don't even. But come on, that none of those people have ever
over
had number one.
List?
They had two. They had two number one hits.
Seems excessive.
Seems excessive. Yes, that's number three. Let's go to number two, Amy. This is your
all
last
right.
one.
I'm all before riled the big up for collab. This one. Again, when Joe told me about this episode, two things came to mind, and one was the song I already mentioned, but the second was just a band, and I had to narrow it down a bit to figure out which song got to me the worst. This song sucks, this band sucks, and Bono sucks most of all.
Oh, I'm not surprised you two showed up.
Only he could make some guy who calls himself The Edge look less like a douchebag by comparison. I recently saw a quote from Bono, and I was actually shocked that I had this much in common with him. He said, "I hate U2's name, my voice, and most of the songs."
I read that. Yeah, yeah. That was recent.
That was, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, he just like, he's like, I can't listen to our stuff anymore. I hate it.
I'm with him on that because I cannot, if Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For comes on the radio, ooh, I'm changing the channel.
Ouch.
Can't deal with it.
I feel like they got some good songs, but yeah.
You're entitled to that opinion.
Thank you. Our friend Lisa on social media wants to mention Pride in the Name of Love as her song that she can't stand.
Fair enough.
But what do you have for us? With
Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For.
The pain. This is a masochistic episode.
Do I have to keep my headphones on for this one?
Yes.
I remember that a few years ago there was a news article about just like a few shows that had to be canceled because Bono loses his voice. You
right.
know, Bono loses his voice.
That's
show's
a shame.
Canceled. And I said, "Ooh, now Bono the singer knows how Bono the songwriter has felt for years."
Man.
But classic era, I do like, and I like the Joshua Tree album.
Yeah.
Shame on you, Josh.
Yeah. Streets Have No Name is my favorite of theirs.
Yeah, I will say that, you know, but at the time though, I was like so anti everything that was on the radio. Mm-hmm. There was good stuff that I like. Years later, I had to admit to myself I should sit down and listen to this album.
Right.
And Joshua Tree was one of them. Like at the time, I was like, it's on the radio, therefore it sucks.
You were right in your first assessment.
But that came out when I was in middle school. The album that came out when I was in high school was Achtung Baby, which all of my peer group loved. And I was just like, no, it's not very good. I like Mysterious Ways. And
I was going to say, Mysterious Ways is pretty great.
But nothing else.
Amy completely disagrees.
I do.
Yeah. Not even their performance at Live Aid can sway you.
Absolutely not.
See, that was pre-Joshua Tree.
This is all before my time, and I still hate it.
Yeah.
Hey, man. To each their own. Let's listen, though. Let's listen. To, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Keep those cans on.
I'm going to have to strap them to my head.
That's right. Number two.
Number two. I still haven't found what I'm looking for.
Thank you. heard enough.
I've suffered.
I've suffered tortures of the damned.
Every second.
You guys have seen the whole thing with you two and the sphere in
sphere
in
it's
Vegas.
Spherical.
Have you seen the videos of that?
I have not.
Oh, you gotta check it out. It's insane.
Yeah.
Are there any that don't feature you two?
You're talking about like, to the venue.
The experience mm-hmm. of it. Yeah, it's like a giant dome that's like the tall as the Statue of Liberty, and it's all screens. Like every inch of it is screens, and they can like project anything they want on. And like there's like portions of it where it looks like you're outside, but it's like you're actually under this dome thing. There's like the Las Vegas skyline behind you, and stars are out and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's kind of neat. There's one part where it's all pixelated, and it looks like the ceiling's caving in on you.
Creepy.
Everything I know about it, I just know from social media.
Yeah.
And somebody had put up a Photoshop of it, and it said, "Come on, Las Vegas, you know what everybody really wants." And the dome was made to look like the Death Star from Star Wars.
Yes.
But somebody on Blue Sky said that REM is never going to play the dome because they can't sing "That's Me in the Corner."
Was that Blaine Kapach? I feel like it was. That guy's always doing clever things on social media. All right. Anyway, thank you for that, Amy.
You're welcome.
It's number one time, folks. I think this will be the time where
we consult and we pick one together. Is that
yeah. And maybe this will be a good time for honorable mentions, because then we can choose something from amongst those.
All right.
So honorable mentions, Amy, what do you got?
I did have two alternates.
Uh-huh.
One being Boys of Summer by Don Henley.
Oh.
I can't specifically put my finger on one thing about that song that I hate. It's just, nobody cares, Don.
But he saw a Deadhead sticker on the Cadillac.
Good for him. Don't need to sing about it.
Don't look back. Don't ever look back.
And then my second alternate, I didn't have a specific song. Well, I did, but I was toying with a few different songs. But just, I can't listen to Janis Joplin.
Oh, wow.
But it's a... I don't know. I feel like I have to clear
my
throat.
Is it a pine cone related situation?
pine cone's in the other end.
Oh, ouch. All right, Joe, what do you got?
Well, this is kind of like my age group specific, like people who are like within a couple of years of,
hey,
of
that's
my
me.
Age.
it's not Amy.
No.
Everything by Smashing Pumpkins.
Ouch.
Everything by Soundgarden.
Wow.
I just, I don't like any of that stuff. I don't. But as far as like picking a specific song as like my strongest alternate, which like I kind of kept off my main three just because I felt like maybe it could be number one, except that means like you both have to hate it instead of love it like everybody else does. This is a song that lots of people have recorded and every version of it sucks. All the covers suck, and Bob Dylan's original Knocking on Heaven's Door sucks. It's just a bad song.
I would be down for playing that, but do you have any more?
Song. I don't know. I thought of including some Def Leppard, but I know that like there's the running joke on this show is that we pretend that Def Leppard are good, and I really have always admired how you like really stick to the bit. You know, like you don't waver. You're like, no, this is our running gag. We're gonna pretend that Def Leppard are good. So I figure out I won't mention Def Leppard
because
we'll pretend that
Def Leppard was.
Tell us how you feel about Rat instead.
I don't think Rat's consequential enough to really.
I've heard you talk shit about Rat before.
I actually sang Round and Round at the Hotel Cafe.
Round and Round's an all-time classic. That's a great song.
Me and AM did it. They had like some kind of like night where they booked like all of their regulars to do like on a theme for like some like raise money for charity, something that they used to do a lot in the old days, and the theme was hair metal night. And AM just knew that like this singer-songwriter scene at the Hotel Cafe, everybody was going to do like their sensitive singer-songwriter version of the hair metal songs.
Those were very well constructed pop songs, you know, especially ones by Def Leppard.
Yeah. And some of them were, and that is what happened. People, they didn't really go full, you know, attitude with it. They did their singer-songwriter version of it.
I think I was there
and
for
some
this.
Of them were like really good. Like Jim Bianco did Talk Dirty to Me, and it was like really good.
Not a bad song.
AM came up with this idea, and he asked me to do it with him. He started, you know, so he learned the song on electric guitar and he just wailed on it. But he starts off sitting down with his acoustic and starts like this, you know, sensitive acoustic version of Round and Round. And then I was in the audience and I was like, bullshit, this is bullshit. It's supposed to be hair metal night, not sensitive singer-songwriter night. And he's like, well, what's your idea, man? I was like, you pick up a real guitar and play it. So he picks up his electric and then I jump on stage and I sang it. And it was awesome. It was
wow. So cool. Joe in his element, yeah. Everybody. That's funny.
But I don't think that people ever think about Rat, really. They were on a Geico commercial a couple years ago, and that was funny.
That was great.
Yeah.
I well, didn't
it's
see
just,
that one.
It's just that one song. They're a one-hit wonder, but it's a really solid song. A lot of those songs from that era were, sorry, including Def Leppard.
That's right. We like Def Leppard on this podcast.
Yes, we do. I have to mention You Get What You Give by the New Radicals. That's the one I use for the photo for listener picks.
That's right.
I hate that song so much. I hate it. He's, you know, it's very repetitive for one thing. It's just the same chords. A lot of my like What's Up has the same chord progression over and over again. One of my picks, whatever that was, had the same thing. She Drives Me Crazy. Same chord progression over and over again. So I hate that. And You Get What You Give has that. And then the thing at the end where he's like calling out Courtney Love and Marilyn Manson. He's like, I'm going to kick your ass in, you know. Like, dude, like Courtney Love could like rip your head off and shit down your neck if you looked at her sideways.
She would.
Like, she would. You know, Mr. Bucket Hat, you think you're so tough? What is this? You're like threatening Beck and Hanson, calling them all fakes and stuff? Like... What's wrong with Beck?
I love the story of Kurt Cobain and Courtney Love being like all drunk and high at the MTV Awards or some event for MTV, and like they were so excited that Axl Rose was there. And
hi Axl!
Like, Axl, we want you to be the godfather for our baby.
They're making fun of him. And they were being so mean too. They just wouldn't leave him alone.
And Axl says, you got to tell your bitch to shut up.
Yeah.
And Kurt Cobain now says, bitch, so shut up.
Those two were like... troublemakers. Anyway, I also want to mention, shout out to David Daskal. He pointed this one out, Glycerine by Bush. If you remember,
yeah.
It doesn't go anywhere. It sounds like an intro. The whole song sounds like an intro.
It's interesting to me to hear the songs that David Daskal hates because he loves so many songs that suck.
I know what you mean.
It's brutal, Joe.
No comment. But yeah, that song. For me, I don't get what's so great about Kiss, especially Rock and Roll All Night. Yeah. That song sucks. That song is a pile of crap. I'm sorry.
It's just about the spectacle.
Yeah, well, it's everything they do is dumb. To me, they're like, it's like caveman rock, you know. It's, you know, lyrics are dumb. The music is really, you know, primitive. I don't think they're that great. Sorry, folks. Garden Party by Ricky Nelson.
Yoko, left field.
Yoko brought her walrus. Shut up.
I always, you know, thought that it was a pretty good song, and then I liked it a whole lot more when I heard the story behind it.
Well, of course, there's a story, but
yeah,
but those lyrics are annoying. Somewhere Over the Rainbow by Is.
Brother Was.
Brother Was. Yeah, he was. Whatever his name, Israel is. I can't say it. It's a long word that starts with a K. It's a Hawaiian name.
People, I mean, like throughout his career so when he was alive, he you know,
called me Is.
Yeah.
He just like recorded that on the spur of the moment at 3 a.m. one night.
Well, he clearly didn't know the words because he butchers the lyrics, which really bothers me. So that one, Katy Perry with Firework. Her voice like is so shrill in that chorus, it sounds like she's hurting herself, and like I get like physically ill listening to it. And last but not least, Desert Rose from Sting. Just pretentious crap. Mm. I like Sting a lot. I love The Police. That one is just kind of stinky. Anyway, I'd be willing to do Knocking on Heaven's Door. Because that one also is the same three chords over and over again.
Okay, I did not like the song.
I hate it.
But I just also didn't really think about it so much, but I didn't like it.
Right.
But then I was in I was like 15 years old, and I was in a band, and we were going to do the Battle of the Bands at the high school. And it was a heavy metal band.
Yeah.
And it was all covers. And we did like Seek and Destroy and United Forces. And I played
Metallica?
Bass.
You played bass?
I played bass. And they all wanted to do Knocking on Heaven's Door because this is when Guns N' Roses covered it.
Right.
And I already just, I didn't like it. But then like I was in a band that played it. And I was like, this song sucks so bad. And it's not just that it's repetitive. It's also like with as brilliant a poet as Dylan is, right, these words are just dumb.
It's beneath him.
It really is. And then like
I feel that way about Wagon Wheels.
The way that it gets used in like movies and TV, and like, you know, the music supervisor is like, oh, this is a scene where somebody dies. I know what it will do. Let's have like Knocking on it, because you get it. Like the person's dying, and then there's like Knocking on Heaven's Door. Get it? Do you get it? You get it? You get it? Wow. So yeah, the original Dylan. It's not good when Dylan does it. It's not good when anybody covers it.
What version should we inflict on our listeners?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I'd say GNR. Because it's fun. It's more fun, at least. It's live, and he's like, let this one be loud! Knock, knock, knocking out. It's fun.
I figured, like, if every version of it sucks, which is the case, every version sucks, then it would make most sense to play the original. But
it's fine.
You kind of make a good point, though. Like, they play it like they think that it's a really awesome song.
They do.
And they it's do. Not. So I think that you could make a good case that that would be the better version to play.
That would be my vote.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Guns N' Roses. Just as long as the listeners know that I think all the versions suck. I'm not just picking just
this
version.
I think that's
clear. Yeah.
Ouch. Let's check it out. Yeah, you won't hear the whole thing, but I think there's five minutes of vamping and just playing the chorus over and over again. But we'll check it out anyway. This is GNR doing the Bob Dylan classic, Knocking on Heaven's Door, number one.
Number one, Knocking on Heaven's Door.
Knocking on heaven's door.
There it is. No more. You're right. They really feel like this is like the glory of rock, like one of the great songs. Yeah.
Cats will do that to you.
Yep.
Anyway, there it is. That's number one. Great list, guys.
Yay.
Was it?
I like some of the songs on this list.
I actually did too. Anyway, that's our list. Thanks everybody for listening. We're going to play one more song right now. It is the bonus track of the week. For
and pick something bad this time, listeners, okay? Don't pick a song that I love.
Yeah, what's your problem? Anyway, it's the bonus track of the week for part two. Check it out.
As chosen by our listeners on Facebook, Instagram, Threads, and Blue Sky. Here's the bonus track of the week.
Hey everybody, it's time for the listener pick bonus track of the week, selected by our friends on Facebook, Instagram, Threads, and Blue Sky. I'm only going to mention this once. We are no longer on Twitter. Enough said. Anyway, this is the bonus track of the week for part two of Top 10 Rage-Inducing Songs We Hate That Everybody Else Loves. Grr! Here's some songs that you guys were voting on social media. We had Radiohead with Creep. We had REM, Losing My Religion. We had in second place for the second week in a row, American Pie from Don McLean. And the winner this week, it is Journey with Don't Stop Believing. I think all of us can agree that this song has been overplayed, like unbelievably so. So it has its issue there. My big thing is that watery bass tone. I hate it so much. So I'm with you guys. I'm with our friends Mark, Ramona, and Dion. They say play Don't Stop Believing from Journey, but don't actually play it because they hate it. But we're going to play it anyway. Here it is, the bonus track of the week for part two. Check it out.
Listener pick.
See you.
there it is, the bonus track of the week. Thanks, everybody, for your picks and your votes. All you folks
No comment, listeners.
You don't like that song?
No comment.
Again, I am indifferent.
I'm indifferent, too, because I don't know what the hell it was. Anyway, sorry. Ruined the illusion. Now we know what the hell that was.
Peek behind the curtain.
Yeah, that's right. Guys, that was awesome. We did our honorable mentions. Usually we have this time to do that, but things to plug. I know, Joe, you've got it's almost that time. It is that time again. It's November.
The holiday season. If y'all want to include some songs in your holiday playlists that are not the same songs that everybody else plays in their holiday playlists, you can look up Joe Lavelle's Brandy Sidecar. There's a 3-song EP of songs that I wrote that are not the songs on your grandma's holiday playlist, but they're songs that your grandma would like. And you can bond with your grandma because you'll like them too.
They're very sweet.
I can vouch for that.
And there's even a Thanksgiving song.
Yes, there is.
Yeah. And there's even a Daylight Savings Time song.
That's right. That may be the only one.
I think we'll be past that by the time this comes out. It's dark at 4:30 or something. Anyway. check it out. Joe Lavelle's Brandy Sidecar. And I would still recommend everyone go to Spotify and check out More Popular Than Reagan.
A great album.
It's good stuff.
Comedy album from 2000 what?
Something.
2000 something.
My introduction to Joe Lavelle.
That's right.
Is that right? Is that through Dr. Demento?
That's correct.
If that album sucked, Amy and I wouldn't be friends.
That is true.
So it doesn't suck.
It does not suck.
Okay.
That's why none of the songs were on this episode.
That's right. Amy, you got anything to plug over there?
Not specifically. I mean,
still stalking Alice Cooper?
Always stalking Alice Cooper. My online presence has shrunk, but it still mildly exists. So
cool.
You can request to follow me on Instagram at FlamePoo.
There it is.
Maybe
I'll post the link to all that. Yeah.
Nobody knows that word.
What was the word?
FlamePoo.
How do you spell that?
FlamFoo.
FlamePoo. No, I don't know that word.
It's archaic. Well, maybe not archaic, but it's not in use anymore. It's a term for a gaudily dressed woman.
Nice. Amy's very strange, everybody. Yeah, no, but I'll post a link up to the Brandy Sidecar thing and your Instagram page, Amy. And I think we're out of here. What do you say?
Yeah, do you have like some horrible bumper music to play?
Something horrible is playing right now because it's one of my alternates.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's going to be...
You don't like this song?
How could you, Ben?
You can't. It's so low in the mix. How can you hear it? You'll hear it when we're done. It'll like zoom up in volume.
Uh-oh.
Woohoo.
It'll be, yeah, see, editing and stuff. Anyway, thanks so much, guys. This has been great.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yay!
Thanks so much. Everybody, if you like what you hear, you should subscribe to All Time Top 10 by finding us at all the places that you get podcasts. Whatever your podcast catcher is, you should subscribe to our show there.
Do it.
That's good stuff.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And until next time, peace out.
Who likes 92 people?